rock.
Take a ride round the block now. Every day seeing dope fiends and the cops round. At any traffic stop, we could be shot down. And in the courts, it's just us. Justice is not found.
I wanna take a ride. I wanna feel the vibe. I feel the good inside.
Let's rock.
Good evening, and thanks for tuning in to Injust Us, the show that shares stories of injustice and allows listeners to ask questions and seek advice. Every other week, we feature guests who are making a difference in the Black community and or personally affected by the criminal justice system. I am Alta Melinda Robertson, your host and founder of Black Mothers for Justice, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit for mothers of all races whose children are incarcerated because it's the same battle with a different fight. Black Mothers for Justice was created to provide a safe space where mothers can speak freely about their child's conviction and the impact it is having on them. The mission is to connect mothers from city to city and state to state so they can speak their truth without being judged. Tonight's featured guest is DeShola Dawkins, the executive director of Next Level Vision and co-founder of the Coalition of Concerned Mothers. DeShola is also a gun violence survivor. Her 24-year-old son, Timothy Dawkins, was shot to death in the streets of D.C. in 2013. Every 16 minutes, an American is killed with a gun. Over 90 are shot and killed every day, which places the U.S. as number one in mass shootings among all other developed nations. Research shows that gun homicides and assaults are disproportionately concentrated in cities, and D.C. has one of the highest rates of gun homicides in the country. There are a wide variety of proven solutions for reducing gun violence, and DeShola is on a mission to make sure they are implemented in D.C. Without further ado, please help me welcome the woman of the hour, Queen DeShola Dawkins, to the show. And if you want to join the conversation at any time, please remember to press 1. Hey, Queen DeShola, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for inviting me to partake in this significant show.
We hear you fine. Thank you so much for being on the show. Before we get started, I would like to extend my condolences once again to you in the loss of your son, Timothy. I know this year makes 8 years since that fateful day. So how are you doing? You and the family?
It's a day-by-day healing process, Melinda. But thank you for asking.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So let's get into it. So as mentioned in the intro, gun violence is at an all-time high nationwide, and children under the age of 10 are being shot at an alarming rate. What do you think the increase of minors being killed is? What do you think this is attributed to?
Well, there are several reasons and factors. Number one, lack of access to opportunity, job loss, housing instability, poverty, food insecurity, and a lack of drug facilities are key factors of gun violence. Not to mention, we're living in the worst economic crisis in American history. COVID-19 has canceled resources and opportunities for our children to with schools and recreation centers closed and a few options for outdoor activities. Number two, racial justice equality. Gun violence disproportionately impacts Black and Brown Americans, and this is a core obstacle to equity and racial justice. Additionally, in part because housing and other policies have resulted in segregation and underinvestment in Black and Brown communities. Number three, unsecured guns plus kids at home sometimes alone. About 4.6 million children live in homes with unsecured guns. And research shows that the majority of kids know where their parents store their guns, even when parents think they do not. And last but not least, number four, families at home plus higher rates of domestic violence given that the coronavirus is confining Americans to their homes, we are also concerned about families living with an abuser.
Yes. You nailed it right there, Queen. You nailed it. That is so real. And a lot of it seems like at least 90% of these crimes do happen in the home in terms of them having the access to those guns. So I'm so glad that you shed a little light on that, because parents just need to know, if it's not in a lockbox with a key, then they shouldn't have it if they have minor children in the house. I totally agree with you. So how long after Timothy's untimely death did you become an advocate against gun violence?
Unfortunately for me, it was only 2 weeks, and it was the current council member, Ward 8 council member Trayon White, who encouraged me to speak out. He and my son Timothy were best friends.
Oh, wow. Wow, I'm so glad that for the work that you are doing, and I really commend you for being able to jump in so quickly and fight the good fight. You are a strong woman. You are a strong woman, and I pray that other mothers who have lost children to gun violence will be able to get some of your strength so that they too can have their voices heard. So, to your knowledge, have any new laws gone into effect to stop gun violence since you've been an advocate?
Yes. D.C. has passed a number of gun safety laws in recent years, including, number one, a law prohibiting ghost guns or guns made from kits using plastic parts. Number two, a law increasing penalties for high-capacity magazines, and number three, an extreme risk protection order, also known as the red flag law. That aims to temporarily remove firearms from a loved one if they are experiencing a crisis and are at risk of harming themselves or others, which Next Level Vision has a committee that is dedicated to help develop this program. But laws can only do so much, Melinda. We also need to change the culture and denormalize guns, which are part of this American culture.
Wow. What was the first point that you made about the law? You said it's referring to toy guns. What kind of guns?
Ghost guns, they are called.
Okay, what are they?
Yeah, so I was saying ghost guns are guns that you can order them. I've been told that you can order them online, and it's a kit, and it's a plastic gun, but it actually can shoot and kill.
Wow. I've never heard of anything that. That's the kind of stuff that they need to be putting on, reporting on the news, but I guess not, because then maybe other people will go out and buy them. I'm definitely going to Google that, because I've never heard of. You say ghost gun?
Ghost gun. G H O S T.
Wow, I've never heard of anything like that. So, in your opinion, what, if anything, can we do as a community to stop gun violence?
It's easy to feel hopeless, but there is a lot we can do. We can support neighborhood healing circles, trauma support circles, and other efforts to break the cycle of violence by volunteering with organizations like Next Level Vision and those on the ground doing the work. It's a common refrain, hurt people hurt people. We need to break this cycle. we can demand that our local elected officials provide more activities at schools, libraries, and recreational centers for our children to have positive preventative activities to keep them engaged. We can tell our local elected officials that we support the Violence Intervention Program run by the Office of the Attorney General and the Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement, which are backed by research and have shown very positive results. If you are interested in getting involved and learning more about these programs, you can join groups like Next Level Vision, Alliance of Concerned Men, Coalition of Concerned Mothers, Moms Demand Action, and Peace Walk CC.
Yes, they have them out there. They have a lot of different organizations out there. Like you said, and the matter, the thing about this is getting involved. Let me ask you this. Do you think, as parents, let's just say parents of some of these young teens that that are living with them and they may suspect that they have firearms or something like that in their homes, do you think that it would be a good idea for parents to kind of go through their things or, you know what I mean, like search their own homes to see if they have stuff like that in the house? What is your take on that?
I absolutely believe that parents should be inspecting their children's rooms, book bags, and children should be more, I mean, parents should be more involved in their children's lives.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yes. So how would you say that you were able to transfer the pain of losing Timothy into committing, being committed to save the lives of other people?
At first, Melinda, I must admit it wasn't easy. But with determination and perseverance, I decided that I had to do something. Although I knew that Timothy was never coming back, I made it a continued commitment to myself to be a part of the solution. If I wanted to see a change, I had to start with myself and be that change. I had to make myself uncomfortable by sharing my unpleasant story with the world. I had to take the lead and get involved to create that positive change so that others would never have to feel the awful pain of losing a child.
Wow. So I want you to do me a huge favor and give the audience that quote that you open our meetings with, DeShola. What's that? What's Timothy's favorite quote?
Oh, Lord, and I should know it by heart, but for some audience.
Right, at some point during the show, just share that with the audience.
Sure, I certainly will.
We're going to close out because that really resonates, and that just speaks to me every time I hear you say that quote. So just a reminder to
that's something that he left for us, you know.
That is
something that he left. Me.
And what quote it is. What a quote it is. So callers, I just want to remind you to press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation and speak with Queen DeShola Dawkins. So DeShola, do you have any advice you can give mothers who are in fact coping with the loss of a child?
Yes. Please take time to heal by talking to others about what happened to you and your family. Seek out a therapist if necessary. Please don't isolate yourself and find therapeutic groups to get involved in. So I just found Timothy's quote.
Okay.
You want me to share it now?
Yes.
His quote is, "We're going to instill the right kind of confidence in our people and take our community back square mile by square mile."
Yes. Out the mouth of a young soldier. Wow. That thing is so impactful. You should be very proud. Legacy that he has left, though his life was cut down so young. Wow, so the advice that you just gave the mothers is just awesome, awesome. I'm so glad that you were able to provide that with them, because there's so many mothers that are mourning the loss of their children. And I just hope and pray your interview tonight will kind of speak to them in a way that that they really need, so that they can, their hearts can receive it.
Right.
So you're also the co-founder of the Coalition of Concerned Mothers. Did that stem from Timothy's death?
Yes, it did. Most definitely did. When I lost Timothy, it was challenging for me to find a group with mothers that looked like myself, who also lost their child to community gun violence. And so that was why I co-founded COCM, which is Coalition of Concerned Mothers.
So what year was that founded, and what is the mission of the Coalition of Concerned Mothers?
So Coalition of Concerned Mothers was founded in 2015 by myself and Miriam Gray Hopkins. And so our mission was to work with families who were impacted by community violence, police brutality, and mass incarceration. And so while we are also, you know, trying to work to get legislative changes on Capitol Hill. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. So how does one join the Coalition of Concerned Mothers?
You can join by reaching out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on our website, which is www.coalitionofconcernedmothers.org.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So you are also the executive director of the Next Level Vision. Where did that concept come from, lady? You wear a lot of hats. I love it.
Well, you know, this is Women History Month, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's right.
So that's what we find ourselves doing as women. We wear a lot of hats. That's natural to us, you know. Melinda, you do too. This concept came from reflecting on my work as a case manager. I was the facilitator of meetings working with foster children. And the foster child would have many people working with them, and often those people would have never met one another. So I would be the one who would bring all the parties together, and so for them to help this child, you know, get to the level of self-actualization. So that's what I'm doing in the community. And there are, you know, there are many people working together in the community doing the same work, fighting for the same issues, but don't know one another. Just like I didn't reach you until you, you know, actually joined, you know, with Next Level Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is true. That is true. So, right. Thanks. So you brought everybody. So you're bringing everybody together. I love that concept, because everybody brings something different to the table. That's awesome.
Exactly.
That is awesome. And it's so necessary this day and age with everything that's going on with the pandemic and everything. Callers, please press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation. Have you always been as involved in the community as you are today?
Only since 7 years I have been very involved. You know, I was a mother of 7 children, and I also attended school when my kids were in school, so I always had a very tight schedule. So, you know, when my kids were in school, I went back to school and, you know, got my bachelor's degree. Then I went to get my master's degree.
Oh, hey, mother. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Girl, I admire you more and more. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's amazing. You had 7 children and you went back to school, and not only did you get your bachelor's, you went back and got your master's. I know your children are so proud. What do they say?
Yeah, and I'm proud of my children. My children are doing some awesome things as well.
Such a blessing. Go ahead, Mama. I just want you to just take a bow, girl. Just don't make sure that crown don't fall off, but take a bow, because you are an amazing. That's so awesome. Yes, that's so awesome. And the thing about it is that you are a true example that a made up mind can do just about anything. You know,
yeah,
what inspired you? Your children inspired you. What inspired you to go back to school?
Well, it was something that I always wanted to do, but you know how life happens and you get all tied up and tangled up and, you know, you go some separate ways, you know, which I ended up getting married. And I always wanted to go back. I used to want to have a PhD, but after I got that master's degree, that almost took me out. I was like,
how long did it take you? How many years did it take you all together, would you say?
Okay, so when I went back to school to get my bachelor's degree, now that took a long time because remember my children were young, and so I was only taking like 2 classes a semester. But I was going through the summer, you know, and that took me 7 years.
Wow.
It took
wow.
me 7 years. That when I went back to get my master's, I did finish in 2 years.
Wow. Now, that's a made-up mind right there. That's a made up. That's awesome. That's awesome. I've thought about it, but I've never taken the necessary steps to go back to school. But my children have gone to college and stuff. So, So let's talk about the next level vision, the mission, and the various committees that you've assembled.
Sure. So our mission is to build a networking partnership with our community leaders to form and inform our families of available resources and programs. We want to inspire and encourage leaders to organize, strategize, and mobilize in unity and love. Our vision is to change the culture of our community from gun violence to love and not hate. We are working with all organizations who are willing to work in unity and share the responsibility of taking our generation to the next level vision.
Yes. That is amazing right there. So how many different organizations would you say you've combined thus far? Because there's no limitation, right? Other people that may want their organizations to become involved, it's still open to them, correct?
Absolutely. We are still looking for leaders in the community. We have a total of 7 total committees, and we have, you know, starting with the executive committee. Then we have our community unity committee which deals with types of leaders that are working in the community, like family engagement, trauma, substance abuse, mental health, education, job trainings, and empowerment training. Then we have our street justice committee. And in this committee, we are coordinating with partners on peace walks, vigils, and advocacy while keeping an eye on government efforts, okay? And then we have our social injustice committee. We have our red flag committee, and that's the same thing that I just got finished talking about with the ERPO law, you know, the extreme risk protection order. We have our resource development committee, which also helps people, you know, to find resources in the community as far as, you know, fundraising, grant writing, and those kinds of things. And we have our social injustice committee, which is this committee is working on the impact of economic loss of resources and looking at the injustice of our black community. And then when we have our public profile committee, which will be, you know, helping us, you know, with our social media, you know, for photography, videos, flyers, and those kinds of things. So if anybody's interested, please don't hesitate. We could use volunteers.
Yes, yes. And if you could just elaborate a little bit on the various training programs.
So in the Community Unity Committee is, you know, remember we just started the Next Level Vision 6 months ago. But although we are a legal registered business in D.C., we are still developing our programs. And so, you know, we're working, you know, we are still working on developing things. So if you want to get in on that and help develop these programs, we are definitely looking forward to it, for that help.
Oh, nice, nice. You talked about the lack of programs and stuff like that for our young people in the community. I was just wondering, remember when we were coming up back in the day, they had boys and girls clubs and stuff like that. And I remember there was one over on 17th Street. This has been closed for years, though. So,
and that's what I was just talking about, Linda.
I mean, do you know of any type of youth programs that are still open in D.C.? I mean, I know I'm talking about pre-pandemic. Do you know of any of those things? Because I don't know of any.
Unfortunately, they do have some, but you usually have to pay for it, you know, like the car. You know, they have an excellent program, but they want money. I mean, they don't have the free programs like they had going up.
Wow. And that's so unfortunate because idle time is just not good. Idle time is just not good. What about Rosedale? I wonder if they're still open. Rosedale Recre over there on 17th Street Northeast.
I've never heard of that program. Maybe somebody listening can talk about that.
I went to a couple of football games over there. I'm not sure if they're still open or not, but it's just so unfortunate that everything comes with a price tag now. Because back in the day, those kind of, you know, recreation centers and stuff, that was free. You just showed up.
Exactly.
You know, and
that's
Go ahead.
So what I was saying is I had mentioned that in the beginning of our conversation when I was saying that those are some of the things that could prevent gun violence if our government provides more activities, recreational facilities, and, you know, libraries where they have those kinds of programs available. I mean, the kids are getting restless. It's really nothing for them to do.
Right. And then the thing about it is that I believe personally that a lot of these video games and, you know, the internet and stuff plays a part as well. Like, for instance, that one video game, what is it, Car Theft or... it's some kind of video game that Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto. And I remember years ago when my son was a teenager, he was like, for Christmas, he said Grand Theft Auto. I'm like, what is that? That's a video game. Grand Theft Auto? I don't think so. Why would I buy you a game? I mean, it's a good game. No, but I'm just saying, who would even, and I just really believe that these kind of video games need to be taken off the market. Because since that Grand Theft Auto stuff, video stuff, carjacking has tripled, or if not quadrupled. And I believe that they're playing this Grand Theft Auto thing. thing, you know, for hours and hours and hours, and they're so, their minds aren't developed enough to be able to decipher that this is a game. You can't think that you can go out and do the same thing to a person, and but it's happening.
Right.
And it's so disheartening. I mean, I read in the paper the other day that a 12-year-old, get this, a 12-year-old was arrested in D.C. for 4 carjacking. 12!
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Facebook. Yeah, I saw that.
Right. I'm just like, where are you learning to drive? I mean, I just can't help but to wonder if this type of video, you know, the Grand Theft Auto video, has anything to do with the rise in carjackings. Do you think that that's a little far-fetched?
No, not at all. I do believe that some of the gaming systems that they have out, some of the games, are just, especially right now when they have nothing but idle time. You know, everybody's stuck in the house. That's all they have to do is play those games. Because they're growing up in the normal how we did. You know, we were able to go outside, but now they're making everybody stay in the house. So, yes,
right. Absolutely.
I do think games play a vital role in what's happening and, you know, the young people, you know, getting themselves more involved in murders and things like that.
Yes, I definitely agree. And I think it all boils down to parents being parents, doing parenting. You know what I'm saying? We have to, I mean, for some reason, I just believe that parents have to insert themselves more in the lives of their children. I mean, it was like, we couldn't even close the bedroom door in my house when I was growing up. You know what I mean? It was just so different then. But now it's like, they have this thing where, you know, well, that's their room and that's off limits and they don't feel that. I just don't understand that. What do you think?
I also believe that, you know, parents should be, like I said, you know, more involved and try to steer the kids away from that, like teach them to read a book. Like I used to pay my children to read books. I mean,
what do you mean?
I used to pay them. I'm like, the more books you read, the more money you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would pay them, like, you know, $5 to read the book. To just get a book read. And then they would have to tell me about what they read because I've already read books.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, another way to get some allowance.
Exactly.
That is really good.
Yeah,
I mean, and the thing is, we definitely had to earn it. I don't even know if they still have chores, girl. Today, I don't know, but back in the day, my mother would have it marked on a calendar whose day it was. Like, we had to take weeks and be responsible for cleaning up the dinner dishes for the entire week. You know, it's just different things like that. But we just living in different times now. I believe sometimes I believe we as parents, we can give them too much, you know, and I believe that's where the sense of entitlement comes from that a lot of young people tend to have today. You know,
right.
I mean, we have to make them earn it. I mean, I don't know, but it's just, I just hope and pray that with the next level vision and all that you are doing in the community and your advocacy and stuff is going to maybe make the city council people and stuff like that just take a look at this stuff and see what they can do to kind of shift, you know, like I was saying in the intro, like you were saying that there are just so many proven solutions to get a handle on this gun violence since we are, D.C. is technically one, is like number one. So what, can you elaborate on some of those different solutions that have been proven to work in other major cities?
Well, you know, as I had said before, you know, you know, we're living in total different times, and, you know, where job loss is, you know, crazy right now, and, you know, and so it's a challenging time for, you know, for adults as well as children, mm-hmm. you know, and so some of the things that, you know, may help our children, like I was saying, is, you know, actually we have to go back to the way things used to be, you know, thinking about, you know, being a village, you know, and stop trying to live individual, you know, individualistic. We need to lean more upon our community, and we need to look out more for one another, you know, and I think that would make a difference, and trying to, you know, go back to the old African proverb, you know, it takes a village.
It definitely
takes
a village.
Everybody needs to be involved. If we're going to save the next generation, everybody got to play a part, you know, and people got to stop being so insensitive or so sensitive that you can't say anything to anybody's child, you know.
Right, that's what I was about to say, because when we were coming up back in the day, you know, the neighbors could check your child without a problem, and then they would check you, and then your parent would check you when you came home. You know what I mean?
Right.
But today,
right.
You know how many people have actually been shot for trying to chastise somebody else's child? It's disheartening.
It is. You know, don't want to say nothing to anybody's child anymore unless you know their parents, you know? And, I mean, we try to do what we – because I also work in the school system, and we try to do what we can to correct some of those issues. And I think that's probably another solution is taking it back into the schools, you know, and working more closer with the schools. And probably – I think mentoring is something that, you know, is a solution, I believe, that will also help, because it builds a trusting relationship with individuals. So, yeah.
I think that's very important. I think, yeah, we definitely need to rebuild the village, because back in the day when I was coming up, I just remember my mom and they were, you know, the neighbors and stuff like that, they would get together and have like rent parties. Like if one of the neighbors was short on their rent, like they would come together, you know, whereas today we are more, I guess, more ashamed. We don't tell anybody.
Exactly. Yes. We're more individualistic, and we look down on people because, you know why, I believe, Melinda, it's because of the society that we're living in now. I mean, it looks down on poor people. Look at, I mean, from our president, you know, if you don't have a certain amount of, you know, funds, you don't belong to this party. Nobody must care about you. And we need to change that behavior.
Yes, we do. And the thing about it is that I read somewhere, or it was some statement that was made, and it said that the black community was stronger when we had left. And I believe that. We were stronger together. We were stronger together as a people during those 70s when we were, you know, when it was the whole Black Power Revolution and, you know, and everybody was, that was my brother, that was my sister. You don't see that as much. I think it's coming back, though, slowly but surely. I do think it's coming back.
Yeah, and that is another reason why I formed Next Level Vision, because with Next Level Vision, everybody is helping. We helping one another.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? We are working, networking with one another. That way, you know, we with less chance of burnout, and we can support each other in whatever we do as far as resources. Like you may need know somebody who, like for example, what I'm doing. You're helping me to talk more about what I'm doing at Next Level Vision. You have a show. What I'm gonna do for you is I'm giving all the people who I know, I'm being able to promote you through my social media or my web page.
you know, so we all have one another.
Exactly. And that is so important because, yes, that is so important because we have always had, well, I would say for the last 20, 30 years anyway, it seems that our community has had the crabs in a barrel mentality, whereas if someone seems like, you know how crabs are in a barrel, you know, every time one seems like it's getting to the top, the other one pulling it back down.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I mean when I say we want to change our community, our culture. You know, we want to change it from, you know, from you know, hate to love. We got to change our culture. We got to teach to love one another, care for your neighbors. I mean, you know, a couple years ago I was in Cuba, and Cuba is very well, you know, known for it being very poor. Okay, but, you know, them people are poor and happy. You know?
Yes.
They are
exactly
happy.
And yes, and I agree. Right, it seems like you're happiest with less because I guess you have less problems. I'm not sure, but I do believe that we have to lead by example, you know, and it takes each of us being willing to do our share and do something towards bringing the community back together, because it's not so much as what we say, it's what we do, because the next generation is watching us.
Exactly. And that is that's where I felt like if, you know, they seeing us in the communities not respecting one another, not helping one another, not supporting one another, that trickles on down. And so, you know, that's why, another reason why I decided to form Next Level Vision. Let's show the next generation how to take care of one another.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I wish we could get some of these daggone shows off the air that's showing grown women fighting each other and, you know, throwing drinks and that kind of stuff. That's unrealistic. And a lot of times they don't understand that that's TV. That stuff is scripted. But it's not a good look, you know, because we are queens. Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's at the cost of our young individual sisters, the younger generation, you know, I mean, and that mentality is something that we need to get away from. But we have no control over what people watch, but it's just really disheartening because I also believe that a lot of these shows and stuff, you know, have a lot to do with the younger generation's response to things. You know what I mean? I mean, because at the end of the day, sis, we are all queens. We are queens. And a queen should never remove her crown. And that's the mentality that we want to pass down to the next generation so that they can love themselves, you know, and they can feel confident and walk with their head up and be proud of their blackness. But I just believe that we have to lead by example. You know, and that's why it says I commend you for the vision of, you know, for Next Level Vision and bringing everybody together. I love the concept, and I think that is going to be something that is going to do very, very well in the years to come.
Well, I definitely hope so.
It will. Well, man, especially with you behind the wheel, girl, you driving this thing.
Yes.
Well, you are doing a great job. So what, if any, are the requirements? Are there any particular requirements to be a part of the Next Level Vision? Let's say, like, do they have to have an organization? What if individuals, they could just join and be a part of the different committees?
So we're looking for like-minded individuals who care enough about the community to want to see a change, not just in words, but with showing up in deed, and individuals to work collaboratively to make that change happen by volunteering a few hours a week. So,
yes.
No, they do not.
You said volunteering in what capacity a few hours a week?
Well, we need leaders right now. We need a few leaders for some of our committees. Some of our committees are already fully, we have, all the leaders. But, just volunteer your time, and help us build this and so we can network together.
Right. So, it takes a village.
Yes. Volunteer your time and come and support what we're doing in whatever capacity you can. If you know how to, if you're a photographer or like what you're doing, you able to get the word out about Next Level Vision. If you are, if you know how to do research, if you're good at researching, if you want to, participate in the visuals and the peace walk, we need people to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So that whatever, the gun violence will stop happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We definitely need to, we need people. Yes, committed people, let me just say that. Like-minded, committed people. And because the thing about it, at the end of the day, we have to be the change. We're always talking about the gun violence. We're always talking about what's going on and what's wrong. But I just believe that groups like Next Level Vision, we're not just talking about what's wrong. We're talking about what we can do to make it right. We are committed to being the change that we want to see.
Exactly, Melinda. Exactly. We getting there.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing about it is that I just think that, a lot of times people really don't believe that they have anything that they can really offer. But at the end of the day, it is just, there's so many different ways that we can build this thing. And everybody has something to offer.
Exactly.
And I just like to reiterate that because no matter how small, no matter you, we could use you.
Everybody
has some type of talent, right? Something that they can do, something that they can offer. And the thing about it that I think is so important that we all remember that we are elders now. So it's up to us to lay the foundation for the next generation.
You are speaking truth.
Yes, because, either you're going to be a part of the problem or you're going to be a part of the solution. It's no in-between. And I just thank God for the opportunity to host this injustice and stuff and have people like you on that's out here that's making a difference in the community and that's willing and able and encouraged and just want to be the change that we want to see. I think that is just so awesome and so amazing that there are so many of us that are out here. And like you said, we wouldn't even know. I still wouldn't even know anything about your work in the community had I not been invited to join Next Level Vision. Tyrone Parker invited me to join, and I'm so glad he did because it has definitely been able to. I'm learning so much through Moms for Demand. The Moms Demand Action. There's so many different elements to it.
Yeah, we all doing the same work, last week and actually had advocacy week and I was a facilitator for one of the council members. Unfortunately I couldn't do everything, but I did one thing helped. You see, and that's what it takes. Just whatever little time you got, use it for the best. Use it for your best. And so we were able to speak to the council members about, helping to, put money in the budget and create change with gun violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we all have a voice, but it's up to us whether or not we use that voice. I mean, we can talk about what's wrong. Right. I mean, we can spend hours talking about what's wrong, which is what many people do. But at the end of the day, we can shift that thought process into what's right and what can we do to make it right. It's the smallest change. I mean, like parents that might be on the line that you have a teenage son that you think might be in the streets or something like that, you know what I mean? Go through the room. Go through it. Take that gun. You know what I mean? You might save their life. You might save the life of somebody else. But we have to be willing to take the blinders off because this, it starts at home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it starts at home, and we have to get involved. Because these guns, these bullets don't have no names on it, and anybody, it can happen to any of us,
at any given time. Melinda, I always say we all walk around with a target on our back because they just shooting and you don't know. My son Timothy was going home to charge his cell phone. And they started shooting, and he took a bullet to his back.
Wow.
One single took his life. Wow. And he was doing wonderful things in the community. He was a mentor in the community where, you know, over there on 4th and Chesapeake Street. You know, he worked with Trayon. You know, he was a youth minister. He was working on his bachelor's degree for political science. So he was doing things positive. Wasn't in the street out there.
Wow, wow. How are your children adjusted? I mean, with this huge loss.
Well, you know, it changed their life. It's like I said, it's a process. You know, it made them, you know, better people because now they don't really take life for granted like they used to. Because they knew that they actually was probably doing things that they shouldn't have been doing in the streets. And my son, Timothy, you know, which was their baby brother, was doing positive things. And he got the, you know, he took the bullet.
Wow. That is just so unfortunate. But, you know, I thank God that his life was not in vain, though. You know what I mean? Because you are an amazing mother and his advocate, and you have been fighting faithfully, you know, to make a change, you know. And I just encourage any mothers that might be on the line tonight that's listening that may also be a survivor of gun violence will be able to, you know, look at you and how you have been able to turn that something so painful into making such a huge difference in the impact of others, you know, in their lives. So I commend you once again for your commitment. So the show that we're winding down now, do you have any upcoming event that you would like to share with the audience?
Yes. So we're planning an event in August to bring community leaders together, mothers and fathers who lost their children to gun violence. And we're planning an award ceremony for people who are doing work and never get recognition. And so, it's going to be a 3-day event. We're looking to, you know, we're trying to pull off. It's in an effort to create more unity and love in our community. Therefore, you know, we are networking with partners and organizations across all 8 boards. We will kick off the weekend with a basketball tournament and fundraiser on Friday, August 27th. And on Saturday, we will invite our mothers to a picnic celebration of life and knowledge and acknowledge their children who lost lives to gun violence across the District of Columbia. And then the mothers will paint rocks. One of the rocks they will keep for themselves to remind them of their strength. And the second rock will be donated to a newly created Oxen Run tree planting project. And the third rock will be donated to Timothy's tree, which is what inspired me to create NLV, National Next Level Vision. And then additionally, we will share a documentary of Timothy's life and legacy that C. Webb created. For me, and his tree, Timothy's tree, is also planted at the Bellevue Lockridge Library in Southeast. And then we will bring our event to a close, ending with a Sunday brunch and award ceremony at Bus Boys and Poets for our Next Level Vision partners and organizations. So that's our plan.
That's nice. So that's the weekend from the August 27th through the 29th?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. That is going to be amazing. So, people that want to participate, they I'm sure you're going to be advertising. You guys are going to be advertising more as we get closer and closer to the date. So the people, like you said, one of the things you're going to be acknowledging, you know, mothers who've lost loved ones to gun violence and stuff like that, will they be able to register for this so that they can participate?
Yes. You know, we're working on getting all that together, you know.
Okay.
We still got time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, so the thing is, we just want listeners to mark their calendars for the weekend of August 27th through the 29th for now.
Right.
Save the date for the thing.
Right.
Save the date.
Okay.
So listen,
go ahead.
Okay, so how can you, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so tell the listeners how you can be reached on social media before we close out.
Okay, so you can look me up at Next Level Vision on Facebook. You can find out more about us on Twitter, Next Level Vision 1. And for our IG account, we are at Next Level Vision DC. You can also email me at nextlevelvisiondc@gmail.com. You know, at gmail.com. And you can also visit our website at www.nextlevelvision.org.
Awesome, awesome. No, you did great. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Continue to fight the good fight, sis. I'm so proud of you and all you're doing, and I look forward to connecting and working with you more in the very near future. Thank you so much, sis.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show to use, you know, using my your platform to elevate, you know, these kinds of stories. I appreciate you, Melinda, and I love you for this. I genuinely do, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Great. I love you, too. Thank you so much. Deshona Dawkins is a woman of great strength. To be able to channel the pain of losing her son into the mission of saving the lives of others is amazing to me. If you have a story of injustice you would like to share or would like to recommend a topic for discussion on a future show, please DM author Melinda Robertson across all social media platforms. Our next show will be Tuesday, March 23rd, and Courtney Stewart, the CEO and founder of the National Reentry Network, will be our featured guest. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and until next time, stay safe and be blessed. Peace.
You're listening to one of the best internet radio stations around. You're listening to
Urban Flavor Radio.
Taste the flavor.
Right back at you, it's the Kid 50 Cent.
Hey, what is your boy, the road music?
What up, y'all? This is J. Cole.
Yeah, yeah, what's going on? It's Fat Joe.
Yo, this is your boy, Weezy.
You're in the mix
with Urban Flavor Radio.
I'm in these streets.
Your urban party station.
What's your music playing?
Urban ad for your business.
You know what's up.
Call Urban Flavor
at 703-574-0428.
Y'all ready to ride?
Take a ride, take a ride, take a ride round the block now. Everyday scene, dope fiends and the cops round. At any traffic stop, we could be shot down. And in the courts, it's just us, justice is not found.